You Forever by Tuesday Love Sang Rampa, read to you by Blue Friend. Lesson 2. The human body is, of course, a collection of molecules as we have just seen. And while a very minute creature, such as a virus, would see us as a collection of molecules, we have to regard the human being now as a collection of chemicals as well. A human being consists of many chemicals. The human body also consists mainly of water. If you think that contradicts anything in the last lesson, remember that even water consists of molecules, and it is indeed a fact that if you could teach a virus to speak, it would undoubtedly tell you that it saw water molecules clashing around each other like pebbles on a beach. An even smaller creature would say that the molecules of air remind it of sand on the seashore. But now we are concerned more with the chemistry of the body. If you go to a shop and buy a battery for your flashlight, you get a container with a zinc case and a carbon electrode in the center. A piece of carbon perhaps as thick as a pencil, and a collection of chemicals packed tightly between the outer zinc case and the central carbon rod. The whole affair is quite moist inside, of course, and outside it is dry. You put this battery in your flashlight, and when you operate the switch, you get a light. Do you know why? Under certain conditions, metals and carbons and chemicals react together chemically in order to produce something which we call electricity. This zinc container with its chemicals and its carbon rod generate electricity, but there is no electricity within the flashlight battery. It is instead merely a collection of chemicals ready to do its work under certain conditions. Many people have heard that boats and ships of all kinds generate electricity just by being in salt water. For instance, under certain conditions, a boat or ship, which is even resting idly in the sea, can generate an electric current between adjacent dissimilar metal plates. Unfortunately, if a ship has, for instance, a copper bottom connected to iron upper works, then unless special arrangements were made, electrolysis, the generation of electric current, would eat away the junction between the two dissimilar plates, that is, the iron and the copper. Of course, it never actually happens now, for it can be prevented by using what one terms a sacrificial anode. A piece of metal, such as zinc, aluminum, or magnesium, is positive compared to other common metals, such as copper or bronze. Bronze, as you well know, is often used for making ships' propellers. Now, if the sacrificial anode is fastened to the ship or boat below the waterline somewhere, and is connected to other submerged metal parts, this sacrificial metal will corrode and waste away, and it will prevent the hull of the ship or the propellers from wasting away. As this metal piece corrodes, it can be replaced. That is just an ordinary part of ship maintenance. And all this is mentioned just to give you the idea of how electricity can be, and is, generated in the most unusual ways. The brain generates electricity of its own. Within the human body, there are traces of metals, even metals such as zinc. And of course, we must remember that the human body has the carbon molecule as its basis. There is much water in a body, as well as traces of chemicals such as magnesium, potassium, etc. These combine to form an electric current, a minute one, but one which can be detected, measured, and charted. A person who is mentally ill can, by the use of certain instruments, have his brain waves charted. Various electrodes are placed upon his head, and little pens get to work on a strip of paper. As the patient thinks of certain things, the pens draw four squiggly lines, which can be interpreted to indicate the type of illness for which the patient is suffering. Instruments such as this are in common use in all mental hospitals. The brain is, of course, a form of receiving station for the messages which are transmitted by the over-self, and the human brain in its turn can transmit messages such as lessons learned, experiences gained, etc., to the over-self. These messages are conveyed by means of the silver cord, a mass of high-velocity molecules which vibrate and rotate at an extremely divergent range of frequencies and connects the human body and the human over-self. The body here on Earth is something like a vehicle operating by remote control. The driver is the over-self. You may have seen a child's toy car, which is connected to the child by a long flexible cable. The child can press a button and make the car go forward, or make it stop or go back, and by turning a wheel on this flexible cable, the car can be steered. The human body may be likened very roughly to that, for the over-self, which cannot come down to the earth to gain experiences, sends down this body, which is us on earth. Everything that we experience, everything that we do or think or hear, travels upward to be stored in the memory of the over-self. Very highly intelligent men who get inspiration often obtain a message directly, consciously, from the over-self by way of the silver cord. Leonardo da Vinci was one of those who was most constantly in touch with his over-self, and so he rated as a genius in almost everything that he did. Great artists or great musicians are in touch with their over-self on perhaps one or two particular lines, and so they come back and compose by inspiration music or paintings which have been more or less dictated to them by the greater powers which control us. This silver cord connects us to our over-self in much the same way as the umbilical cord connects a baby to its mother. The umbilical cord is a very intricate device, a very complex affair indeed, but it is as a piece of string compared to the complexity of the silver cord. This cord is a mass of molecules rotating over an extremely wide range of frequencies. but it is an intangible thing so far as the human body on Earth is concerned. The molecules are too widely dispersed for the average human sight to see it. Many animals can see it, because animals see on a different range of frequencies and hear on a different range of frequencies than humans. Dogs, as you know, can be called by a silent dog whistle. Silent because a human cannot hear it, but a dog easily can. In the same way, animals can see the silver cord and the aura, because both these vibrate on a frequency which is just within the receptivity of an animal's sight. With practice, it is quite easily possible for a human to extend the band of receptivity of their sight in much the same way as a weak man, by practice and by exercise, can lift a weight which normally would be far beyond his physical capabilities. The silver cord is a mass of molecules, a mass of vibrations. One can liken it to the tight beam of radio waves which scientists bounce off the moon. Scientists trying to measure the distance of the moon broadcast on a very narrow beam a waveform to the surface of the moon. That is much the same as the silver cord between the human body and the human overself. It is the method whereby the overself communicates with the body on Earth. Everything we do is known to the overself. People strive to become spiritual if they are on the right path. Basically, in striving for spirituality, they strive to increase their own rate of vibration on Earth, and by way of the silver cord, to increase the rate of vibration of the overself. The overself sends down a part of itself into a human body in order that lessons may be learned and experiences gained. Every good deed we do increases our earth and astral rate of vibration. But if we do an evil deed to some person, that decreases and subtracts from our rate of spiritual vibration. Thus, when we do an ill turn to another, we put ourselves at least one step down on the ladder of evolution, and every good deed we do increases our own personal vibration by a like amount. Thus it is that it is so essential to adhere to the old Buddhist formula which exhorts one to return good for evil, and to fear no man, and to fear no man's deeds, for in returning good for evil, and giving good at all times, we progress upwards and never downwards. Everyone knows of a person who is a low sort of fellow. Some of our metaphysical knowledge leaks over into common usage in much the same way as we say a person is in a black mood or a blue mood. It's all a matter of vibration, all a matter of what the body transmits by way of the silver cord to the overself, and what the overself sends back by way of the silver cord to the body. Many people cannot understand their inability to consciously contact their overself. It is quite a difficult matter without long training. Supposing you are in South America and you want to telephone someone in Russia, perhaps Siberia. First of all, you have to make sure that there is a telephone line available. Then you have to take into consideration the difference in time between the two countries. Next, you have to make sure that the person you want to telephone is available and can speak your language. And after all that, you have to see if the authorities will permit of such a telephone message. It is better at this stage of evolution not to bother too much about trying to contact one's over-self consciously, because no course, no information will give you in a few written pages what it might take 10 years of practice to accomplish. Most people expect too much. They expect that they can read a course and immediately go and do everything that the masters can do. And the masters may have studied a lifetime and many lifetimes before that. Read this course, study it, ponder upon it, and if you will open your mind, you may be granted enlightenment. We have known many cases where people, most often women, received certain information and they then could actually see the etheric or the aura or the silver cord. We have many such experiences to fortify us in our statement that you too can do this if you will permit yourself to believe. End of lesson 2.